Good morning. It is Monday, November 10th. It's another wonderfully crisp morning outside. Matt, thanks for all those updates. And it sounds like that was a great event that you attended.
Rockin' for Heroes was wonderful. Yeah, Lexington Lab Band and just the whole community coming out to support active duty military veterans, first responders, and Gold Star families. It was a very nice event, well attended with good music.
Wonderful. Yep. Just in time for Veterans Day, which of course is tomorrow. And by the way, I'm Lydia Aranda. I'm your host for Rainmakers. And like I said, it's another lovely crisp fall morning, and I know we're going to have a great day. I'm excited today, Matt, because we have several different guests, two of whom are going to be in studio. But starting this right now, we have our first guest who's calling in, and that is Krista Williams. Krista is very in tuned, and they like to call her the dog whisperer. That's what some of my friends have said. And she is wonderfully in tune to not only teaching, where she's had a very long career in teaching, but she also has had many, many decades of pet care. And she's going to speak with us this morning about the Borderlands Binational Pets on Parade and other wonderful things. I'm so excited about this. I care deeply about our furry members of our family. Some of them are winged. Some of them are fish. You know, some of them swim there and all that. But I think in particular for our dogs who are dear members of our family, Chris is going to give us a few tips and tricks on how to keep them healthy and especially highlight some of the opportunities that may be in, around resources while we're going through so many community organizations are going through so much right now with grants being a little bit more scarce and other kind of funding or just other impacts of government programming shutdowns that are happening right now. And pets are very much an important part. You were speaking a little bit about the event about veterans, and a lot of veterans are pet owners. That's their companion or maybe their safety pet. And so this is really exciting to hear more. Chris, I'm so excited to welcome you to the Rainmakers show and to meet you by phone.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited too.
Well, I understand. I've seen some great pictures of some of the events. So many different events were happening over the weekend. And in particular, here in Tucson, we had the Dia de los Muertos parade, and lots of folks were dressing up, and a lot of animals. A lot of people brought their pets to participate in that. Is that kind of what you were involved in last evening as well?
I was. I saw lots of pets, lots of pet parents. I got to hold sweet little Peanut, cute little Chihuahua, tons of pets dressed up in costumes. It was really awesome.
That's so great. Well, I understand from previous conversations and things that you are leading an organization called Borderlands Binational Pets on Parade, and that the Pets on Parade happens at the Annex over at St. Augustine at the Mercado area. But also you do some things in Douglas, Arizona, bringing Douglas and Agua Prieta together to really show some support for honoring lost and deceased pets on both sides of the border wall, but also caring tips and tricks for caring for pets, ways that we can keep our pets healthy when perhaps our own lives are a little bit stressed. I'd love to hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, one thing I wanted to talk about today, I know that during the government shutdown, a lot of people's funds are running short, really struggling to get by financially. So I wanted to talk about feeding pets. So food pantries are really stretching thin right now, trying to make up for pets in the community that, you know, funds are running short with. So I wanted to just talk about some food tips that you can do, really inexpensive, affordable ways to either make your pet food last, stretch a little bit longer, or, I mean, even worst case scenario, feed a little bit of homemade food for a week or two to get you by when funds are short. I know I've definitely been in that situation myself. So.
Sure, sure. Well, that sounds wonderful because we've been speaking a lot on many of these shows about nutrition and about food and those kinds of things. And so I think you're right on that we need to make sure that our pets are healthy as well. They are extended members of our family. So tell us a little bit about the best way to maybe stretch some food with homemade food. Is it really somewhat simple for folks to do?
It's super, super simple. Ingredients are super easily sourced just at your regular supermarket. super easy to make. You can make it in less than 20 minutes. And I think it's important to note that this isn't a recipe that's meant to replace an actual dog food. It's simply meant to just get you by during a tough time. Making an actual dog food is a very long and complicated process, but this will definitely get you by for a couple of weeks. So all it is brown rice for the protein. I like to use ground turkey. It's leaner and a little bit healthier than ground beef or chicken, but you can definitely use ground beef, lean ground beef or chicken breast. Baby spinach, shredded carrots, zucchini, and peas, either canned or frozen.
Wow.
And you can just cook. Yeah. Yeah, you can cook it up all together in an Instapot or a crock pot, or I just like to cook it on a stovetop. And yeah, that can either stretch your already existing dog food to get you by till next payday, or even feed your pet for 2 or 3 weeks.
That is great to know, and it sounds like those are some basic ingredients that perhaps most people can find or already have in their home or could easily get at the grocery store, and like you said, be able to supplement the dog food or I know we're primarily speaking about dogs, to help it stretch just a little bit longer and get a little bit creative with that fresh approach. I'm curious, I'm aware of one or two organizations that actually are food pantries, if you will, on a large scale that really cater to pet food being available either free or at a discounted price. But I wonder if you have certain organizations or food pantries for pets that you might be able to list for our listeners so that they might know where to go.
I think that the number one best resource to access those things is TAC, Pima Animal Care Center. They have tons of resources. They do tons of things in the community to help out. Humane Society is another big one. They can help you direct you to all the food pantries in town. That would be my one-stop shop for sure.
Wonderful. And I know that people sometimes don't think that there is availability of that extra help, but we want to let folks know, especially our seniors, especially folks perhaps that are living with a disability or a special ability, and veterans tend to be the sectors that have an awful lot of pets and a lot of dependability on their pets. So I want to tell anyone who's listening who's watching us on our live stream, they might be looking at this furry little creature that I hold in my hand. This is the famous Peanut, and she is about a 7-year-old Chihuahua, and she likes to make sure that she's out and about in community. So Peanut, wave at our viewers. It's been so wonderful to hear more and more organizations really taking into account the importance of our pets. And it sounds like that's your mindset as well, Krista.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, we would love to have you on into the studio, hopefully in the future, to talk even more about pets. And I'm curious about how much success you're finding with these binational opportunities to really parade the pets, celebrate our pets, celebrate holidays, and make sure that pets are included in some of those traditions. Are there any particular events coming up now that we're going into the holidays?
Sure. I'm sorry. Any events coming up?
Any more pet on parade type events coming up? I know that we just had Dia de los Muertos. Are we doing anything to help gather food boxes? Maybe that's more, maybe not so much an event as an action that people can take.
Yeah, definitely. Pima Animal Care Center is always accepting donations, especially they're ramping up for the holidays. Yeah, definitely. Always taking food donations there. Humane Society will always take any donations of food, blankets, even leashes and collars, empty prescription bottles. Anything will help, especially during the holidays.
Well, I want to, that really is very important, and we want to give an extra shout out to our friends at Pima Animal Care Center. I know that they've been going through an awful lot of changes and have a wonderful new director, and Steve Ksachik, who was interim director for a while and now is permanent there. And a little side story again about Peanut, she was actually lost, and that is how she was found wandering outside of a Safeway, and she was pretty bold. Seemed to be there with people because she was so comfortable around people, but she decided to take the big move and go through those sliding glass doors and went into the market. And that's where she was found. And after many, many months of trying to help find her parents and giving out my phone number, other phone numbers, many people's phone numbers to keep in touch, never, ever found whoever it was that dropped her off there. She had a little spiked leather collar, so we knew there were people involved at one point, and she was very comfortable around people, but they just never came back. So she became our honorary pet in our family, who represents that there's hope even if pets are lost. So, Kristen, thank you so much for caring for our furry and four-legged creatures. Look forward very much to hearing more. We want to make sure again to tell our listeners and viewers, get in touch with the Humane Society or Pima Animal Care Shelter to donate food boxes for those who need more pet food. And we're going to keep track of this and be reporting back on it now and then, especially as we go into the holidays.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
And folks, if anybody has a question about this, please call us throughout. We're going to be on from 7 to 9 this morning. And coming up next, we have Jenny Flynn, CEO of Community Foundation of Southern Arizona, who's going to be here in studio. And we're going to talk about other ways to help out in community. So please stay tuned. You're listening to Rainmakers on KVOI 1030, The Voice.
Is that peanut dancing? Is peanut dancing too there?
A little peanut is dancing, having a good time. Oh, I love that song, Happy by Farrell. Thanks, Matt. It's always so fun when you do that and everyone in the studio starts tapping their feet, snapping their fingers. I'm so excited. We're having another great show this morning, Monday morning, November 10th. And it is the day before Veterans Day. It is the day after a weekend here in Tucson filled with a lot of events, actually all around Southern Arizona. A lot of things have been going on, including there was the, I believe it was the 55th anniversary of the class of 1970 of Tucson High School this weekend. And one of my uncles was in town. My uncle and aunt came in from Chicago. And several of us, cousins and friends, got to get together and sort of participate in some of those. And I saw some other local leaders, Betty Villegas, our state rep, and others were wandering the room, either themselves as members of that class, or they were their siblings were members of that class. So that was fun going on over at Casino del Sol. And also, I would be remiss not to give a point of privilege, private and personal shout out to my cousin Josie Marin Varelas, who is celebrating her birthday today. So happy birthday, Josie. Very excited. And I also promised that I would give a shout out to one of the fabulous Uber drivers that are here in town. His name is Ramon, and I believe he's listening. So he was very excited to know about the Rainmaker Show. So we're giving a little shout out there. We just had a wonderful segment with Krista Williams, who was calling in and talking a little bit more about Pets on Parade, about the role that pets play in our lives and the companionship there and how they might be in need of some food too. So Pima Animal Care Shelter and other locations are receiving donations for food boxes for our four-legged friends. And Krista, we want to thank you for calling in with that this morning. And now for the rest of our first hour segment, we have in studio Jenny Flynn. Jenny is the CEO of Community Foundation of Southern Arizona. Jenny, it's so wonderful to have you in studio bright and early this morning.
Thank you for inviting me. It's very exciting to be here.
We are thrilled because every week on Rainmakers, we get to give highlights about wonderful things, positive things, helpful things that are going on in community. And I can't think of any better Rainmaker than the Community Foundation of Southern Arizona, who makes so many things happen for so many people because you support so many organizations, and you are the hub of donors and funders and stakeholders being able to come together and then giving out support, resources, information, assistance, guidance, and so much more. Even your wonderful campus here in Tucson is a wonderful meeting space for folks to convene and come together, but then you also have office space available for nonprofits. And I know that often all those spaces are full, but I think you might have some vacancies because people churn in and out. Maybe they get their own building or they become virtual and don't need an office space, and that's such a wonderful help. But all that said, let me officially welcome you again to the show and ask, before we go into a lot of those specifics, let's tell our listeners and viewers a little bit more about you, because you came into this role just a few short years ago, coming out of the U of A Foundation. So tell me about that transition.
Oh, sure. So one thing I think it's important for me to always say is that I didn't grow up in Tucson, but I was adopted by Tucson. So my husband and I moved here in 1999, and we raised our family here, and this has really strongly become my community. So whenever I greet newcomers to Tucson who want to get involved in the community, I remember that time in my own life that I was a newcomer.
Sure.
And then I think about how the community's really embraced me and my family and how we've been able to make such a wonderful life here. And part of my feeling of gratitude toward the community, I think, drives my work at the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
What a wonderful way to base what you do in what you've experienced. I mean, it really informs that feeling.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is a welcoming place, and it's one of the key characteristics of our community that I really appreciate. So working in higher ed philanthropy for more than 20 years, as I did at the University of Arizona Foundation, you know, I was used to just being in an extremely large organization, and what I loved about that is so much knowledge creation and generation. So, you know, I felt like as I walked around campus, when I would, you know, see the Women's Plaza of Honor, you know, I played a role in helping to get that created, a small role. But, you know, everything that I saw or seeing the students and thinking about all the scholarships that I contributed to bringing into the campus, I felt very connected to everything there. And moving over to the Community Foundation, it was a transition to say, well, now my campus is the whole community. Mm-hmm. Was something that I felt really wonderful about. And one thing that I really enjoy about working at the Community Foundation is that it sort of self-selects for people who care about community, who are somewhat altruistic and giving. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful working environment. The donors that we work with, the staff, our tenants at the nonprofit campus that you mentioned, you know, the people who come to our events. In general, you know, everyone has a bad day, but these are people who really want to give back, and so they're already there with a big heart, and so it's just an amazing group to be surrounded by.
That is a really great descriptor of the energy that goes on at Community Foundation of Southern Arizona. I know that having been in the building on the campus many, many times, the atmosphere is very uplifting, and a lot of the issues that are being discussed, that are solutions that are being built that are collaborative and inclusive and well-informed by so many, really speak to, they can be very heavy because the issues are very mm-hmm, heavy mm-hmm. often. And yet the team comes together and welcomes others from community and others from different industry to be part of building those solutions and then keeping that going. It seems to me that it's evergreen. There's never a this is the answer and that's it, which is an attitude I really love. It's always kind of a moving and breathing instrument, if you will. And therein lies the theme of the whole organization. When you announced a bit ago that really the philosophy was about bloom, it was about growing and thriving, and really what all of us can be doing to help nurture our community.
Yeah.
So, and that is displayed then with the wonderful murals and the colorful atmosphere and all of that. So it's very intentional and it's lived every day.
Yeah. And if you like, I could talk a little bit about the campus.
Yes.
So you know, a lot of people come into our building. It's on the corner of Broadway and Rosemont. Mm-hmm. And it is an actual campus. So it's the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona, and we're co-located with 20 nonprofits. And as you mentioned, some of those nonprofits are in smaller suites, and it's a little more flexible. They might move in and out. And then some are in larger, each one's 1,000 square feet suites, and that's really their permanent home. Mm-hmm. And then we have event space, which is available for nonprofits to rent. We keep all of our rents kind of below market so that people in the nonprofit sector are able to access this great space. And then, as you said, it's really intentional. So the whole building is a gallery. So every year we do a call to Southwestern artists, and they're able to submit their work, and the selection committee selects it, and they adorn the walls, and we have a big celebratory event for them. And then they can sell things throughout the year off the wall. We don't take a commission or anything. Anything you see on the wall.
So great display for those kinds of things.
Yeah, and people do come sometimes and buy it, and then we ask the artist for a replacement piece, and we miss it, but we're glad it goes to a good home.
That's fabulous. We are actually, believe it or not, at our first commercial break.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I'm going to pause right there, and we can keep the conversation going right after we hear from a few words from our sponsors, as they say. Matt, take us on out, and listeners, we will be back in just a couple minutes. This is Rainmakers on KVOI. Coming back in with some more great tunes, I'll Be Around by the Spinners, and very apropos because Community Foundation of Southern Arizona and its CEO, Jenny Flynn, are here in the studio with us this morning. Definitely CFSA will be around to help serve community. Jenny, it's been wonderful to have you here this morning. And right before the break, we were speaking about, well, you were telling us more about really the very intentional role, the intentional setting that the campus offers over there on Broadway and Rosemont here in Tucson, a very centralized location that's easy to get to, lots of good parking, lots of access from bus travel and such, and has been just a really welcoming area to bring not only nonprofits who office on your campus, but other organizations and leaders who come together to convene, to think about issues and opportunities, to build solutions together, to offer training and information resources to so many. And also a setting of some cool things that you all are doing, the local news initiative, the book club, and just happen to have a few of your diverse celebrations, too. You have a lot of advisory councils and committees that come together. Asian American,
Asian Pacific Desi American.
Thank you.
Pacific Islander.
That's right, Pacific APEDA. Islander. APEDA just had its annual celebration and awards, which is a recognition of a lot of the different leaders as well as other organizations and small businesses that kind of get involved in that. And also I'm going to forget that you just had another celebration. It was Hotel Congress. Coming up.
It just happened, and it was at MoCA this year, actually. Oh, yeah, it was a different setting this year, out on the street. Yeah, it's
Queer for Good.
And it's our LGBTQ Plus Alliance Fund annual celebration and awards. And yeah, it was truly beautiful.
And that is always a really exciting event and an opportunity to really understand more about what's not only happening in that sector with art, with programs, with youth and adults, small business and such, but gives recognition to other partners in the community who have programs available. It seems like there's a lot of great recognition that goes on.
Yeah, absolutely. There, one award that went out was the Ally Award, and that went to a gentleman who's been playing the piano for the men's Reveille chorus for many, many years.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And it was just sort of beautiful to see how these people were sort of celebrating their community through art and music. And so, just as an example.
A very important part of what happens in community are those celebrations and those traditions. And I think Tucson and Southern Arizona really bring that together. And Community Foundation is another convener of many of those traditions. Before the break, you were speaking about the wonderful artwork that's all over your campus and how you help promote artists in those opportunities and call-outs for that. And then the artists themselves are allowed to sell. Mm-hmm. And anyone who sees it can talk to the artist directly, or do they do that through you?
No, they go directly. Yep. No middleman.
Wonderful. So community foundations all over the country, and of course here in Tucson, have key initiatives that are always in place, and then also react real time to issues in the community. And food is on the top of mind for so many. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing with food resourcing.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have kind of a desire to meet the needs of the community as the needs of the community change. And that's one of our values, which is adaptability. And we pair that with generosity, which is obviously one of our values because we really encourage giving and facilitate giving. So what we've done so far is created a resource that we've put online around food resources. And so we cover all of Southern Arizona, and we're aware that there are sometimes even scarcer food resources in some of the rural communities. Mm-hmm. So we've put out an article which lists where you can get food. And then we're encouraging our own fund holders. So those are generous people who have funds with us that they can direct grants to consider stepping up, and many of them have. So we've been really excited to see that. And those nonprofits provide food resources throughout the community. They are some of the backstops to, the halt, the partial halt, the back and forth SNAP situation going on with the federal government right now. They are experiencing overwhelming demand, and so we are absolutely using our resources to encourage people to give food if they can, and if they can, cash, because those food banks are very, very efficient at obtaining food in bulk, and so therefore if they're able to use the cash, it goes a really long way for them to obtain food and get it out to people.
That's a great point. And yeah. I know recently we've had some other folks and other organizations that have come in to talk about what they are doing. The Gospel Rescue Mission, for mm-hmm. example, yep. does some great work in that. And Matt had a conversation with some of our guests as well, and asked exactly that question, to say, is it more helpful to give food or is it more helpful to give cash? And I think either or, because
Absolutely.
Of what you just said,
yeah.
that some of the experts are able to find their sourcing for food, so they just need the cash to be able to stretch those dollars.
Yeah.
And at the same time, food boxes, food items that
sure.
will go into boxes are yeah. very, very welcome.
I'm in the world of both and.
Yes.
All
yes,
the time.
Both and. Almost like improv. It's
yeah.
like and.
Yes,
yes, and. That brings up a really good point, too, that when organizations like yours are looking at priority issues. Again, real time, things are changing. While food is always important, it's particularly important now because
sure.
of those stressors mm-hmm. on programs that are that usually have the benefit of some supplemental, you know, that's what SNAP is, supplemental nutrition access program. SNAP is affecting a lot of folks, and it is not just those on the lower end of the income scale or spectrum. It's really affecting into medium level incomes, into mm-hmm. households that maybe have had two or three sources of revenue, of mm-hmm. income, and those are being cut because maybe folks are getting laid off. So the issues are getting more complex. And with that, housing is also a big issue. And mm-hmm. I know that your foundation has had a big role in convening folks around breaking the poverty cycle, and mm-hmm. and also people not slipping into poverty who may not have been there already, but are right on the edge of maybe going that direction. That's where you and your team as conveners, and being able to really speak with your donors, it mm-hmm. seems to me, have such an influential role. And you're doing a lot to reach out to others to tell their stories too.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've done a few things. We really like to get as close to the source as possible, just like you do here, and you know, bringing people on live to talk about things. So mm-hmm. We try to interact a lot with the nonprofits that are working on the ground. And so, for example, last year we did a press conference so that they could tell their stories about some of the funding cuts. So, you know, we're focused on solutions, but it is important to think about some of the issues that are going on right now. So one is, with a lot of government funding cuts, that also affects nonprofits. So not only individuals, but the nonprofits themselves are often funded with government dollars. So those nonprofits are there to fill the gap for individuals that are suffering, but at the same time, their own funding is being cut.
Sure.
So what that really means is that we're calling on individuals in our community, neighbors helping neighbors, to step up and do everything we can to help each other. You know, that's I think the Tucson spirit, and that's kind of what we're calling upon. So in several ways, one is we have something called the Greatest Need Fund at the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona, and that is a permanent emergency fund. So people give that to that, and it's made up of gifts from thousands of different people who have said, when a tragedy happens, when an emergency arises, we want you to be there.
What a wonderful fund. That seems like it gives you flexibility to then react to,
exactly,
to whatever's happening,
exactly,
at that moment. It could be natural disaster.
Mm-hmm. Fires.
But pandemic, you know, that was something
absolutely
that people, of course, weren't expecting. And then throughout that, we found that there were so many different needs of, sometimes it was transportation because that had been shifted and changed.
Yep.
So it might have been bus fare or other kinds of things. And then, of course, access to other kinds of health needs or protective gear. And now, like we said, food. Food is really on the top of mind.
Yeah, so we're able to exercise that to also help support some of these organizations that are filling the gap. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when you say inclusive, absolutely. So we gather information, we convene people. We just did a large survey of nonprofits, and 140 of them responded. And we're going to work with the MAP dashboard at the University of Arizona to actually get some data behind the impact of all these cuts on the nonprofit community and how that is affecting their ability to serve all of our Southern Arizona neighbors.
That's so wonderful. So well needed to gather the data also, mm-hmm, because mm-hmm, building the case allows all of us to not only learn from it and be informed, but to design new solutions that maybe we haven't even thought of until we see some of those data points really jump out at us. We might be presuming something.
Sure.
Which is, even with that, one of the newer initiatives, a couple years now, that you have helped lead together with your board and some other advisors in the community, that I think is just really fabulous, is the Local News Initiative. Tell our listeners a little bit more about how that started.
Oh, yeah. So there's just a hunger for local news and information, like you're feeling here this morning. But we are finding that the old business model, especially for newspapers, is not that effective anymore. There isn't that much advertising. Mm-hmm. It's all kind of gone digital. And so the you know, trusted local newspaper or local TV stations, like, things have shifted. And there's a lot more news from Phoenix or national news filling, and we're not really getting that local perspective, people you know, people you can trust. And so a group of community leaders came together and said, we want to address this. So they helped us here at the Community Foundation form the Local News Initiative, and we support local news around Southern Arizona, startups, digital, radio, everything you can think of. And we've really tried to strengthen the capacity of our community to tell our own stories, mm-hmm, thinking that we're best positioned to tell our own stories. And we don't think that a community can be healthy, have healthy ecosystem, have healthy people, serve educational purposes, keep government to account, if we don't have strong local press covering it. And we do have an event coming up around that. Is it okay if
yes,
I share a little
absolutely
bit about that? Because I'm really excited.
Sure.
On November 23rd at 2 o'clock, we're doing an event called Reimagining Local News at the Loft. And we're bringing in Charles Blow, who's a recently retired New York Times columnist. He's an incredible journalist, and he made a series of short films about reimagining local news around different communities. One of them, we're going to show a couple short films. One features an Arizona journalist named Maritza Felix, and she's going to be in a panel with me and Charles Blow. And it'll be moderated by Caitlin Schmidt, and then the short films. And we'd love to have people join us 2 o'clock at the Loft on the 23rd.
So important. And we'll do an extra shout out to Caitlin Schmidt. She's been a guest on our show talking about Tucson Spotlight and really what, and also about her teaching that she does every day about the whole initiative. So thank you so much on that. We are timing out for another quick commercial break. And then when we come back, we're going to make sure that our listeners know how they can get involved as volunteers, as donors, and learn more
fantastic
about subscribing. So
thank you.
Stay tuned. This is Rainmakers on 1030 The Voice. And we're back here wrapping up our first hour segment of the Rainmaker Show here, your Monday morning show on The Morning Voice here on KVOI. We've had in studio with us Jenny Flynn, the CEO of Community Foundation of Southern Arizona. Jenny, thanks so much for being here this morning. We are excited about all of the information that you've shared and also very thoughtful about the kind of opportunities that your organization offers for everybody to get involved, anybody who might like to. I know that you're doing a shout out. You can always use more volunteers. Food resources are very top of mind right now, and subscribing to your newsletter. So maybe you can tell our listeners quickly a little bit more about the Steady Sahuaro.
Additions. Yeah, absolutely. So if you're interested in hearing more from me or the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona, you can go to our website, which is cfsaz.org. And at the bottom of every page, you can sign up for our newsletter. Wonderful. And you'll get a whole bunch of community information about book clubs and events and resources for nonprofits. But you'll also be subscribed to my own personal newsletter as the CEO, which is the Steady Sahuaro. And the focus of that is, let's talk about what's going on, real talk, but in a way that isn't alarmist, and focus on solutions. So every edition, I try and provide some specific action items. I feel like in uncertain times, people need to know what's going on, but they also need to know what they can do about it.
Yes.
So that is the focus of the Steady Sahuaro. The last edition was about food and how to help your neighbors and how to know where to go to get some help yourself if that, or for your family. So, and also, you know, the more exciting things about food too, because I had a chance to visit with Janos Wilder, the famous Tucson chef.
Yes.
And so, you know, we don't just live, we also enjoy our lives, I hope, here in Southern Arizona. We're also looking for volunteers and our volunteer opportunities. I just want to set expectations. They're kind of head heavy. Like, you're reading grant applications. You're not, you know, out pulling weeds. So if you like that kind of thing, please come to our website and cfsaz.org/volunteers. Please fill out our volunteer information form. We'd love to get more people involved. And we also have committees that we're looking for people to join. And so it's really just a great way to get involved with our community, and a great way to get started is just come to one of our events. Most of them are open to the public, and just sign up and check it all out.
That's wonderful, Jenny. Thank you so much. I love the phrase that on your Steady Sahuaro, especially for November 2025, that giving is changing. And
yeah,
that makes so much difference, giving of your time, talent, or treasure.
Yep.
And so much more. Community Foundations Southern Arizona, its CEO, which is our CEO, Jenny Flynn. Thank you so much for being in studio here on Rainmakers. You are definitely making it rain for Southern Arizona, and I thank you for that.
Oh, thank you, Lydia. It's been a pleasure.
And Matt, I think we're getting ready to do our brief break in between our two segments, and coming up on the next hour, we're going to have Logan Green from Groundworks Tucson talking about what he and his organization do for youth.
We will see you right after the news, Lydia.
Good morning. We're back for our second hour of the segment of today, Monday, November 10th.
And for anybody watching, Peanut has gone. Peanut has an entourage. Peanut has handlers. Peanut has gone home for the day. So
Peanut has gone home for the day.
He didn't get away from us.
No. We had wonderful little Peanut, a 7-year-old Chihuahua, who is a poster child for so many good vibes that pets bring us into our lives. And she did a quick visit this morning.
Such a dog. I wish I had a handler like that. You know, I mean.
She is taken care of.
Yes,
she has no complaints.
I can tell.
She's living a good dog life, for sure. It's really good. Speaking of good days and good dog lives, we have had just a very dynamic first hour. Matt, I think you'd agree. We had Krista Williams.
Indeed.
Who is talking to us not only about Pets on Parade and binational pet opportunities, binational borderlands, Pets on Parade, I think, if I got that correct. But mostly she had tips and tricks about what to do for food for pets and how we might stretch pet food supplies at home with some very simple grocery items that probably all of us have to be able to add to the nutrition, stretch that food out, because pet food, like other food, is becoming a little bit expensive for all. And then we had Jenny Flynn on. Jenny is the CEO of Community Foundation of Southern Arizona, and she was telling us a lot about many of the programs going on, some new expansive opportunities at the campus. And what I mean by expanded is other upcoming doing convenings, projects, places that stakeholders, donors, as well as nonprofit recipients of the benefits of the foundation can convene. And she also talked about food resourcing. You know, it's a big issue and a big need for all. With that, and we are now transitioning into a little bit more focus, not only on community giving and support, but we're going to be focusing on youth, and particularly youth in the arts, music and spoken word and other kinds of performance and events. Because in studio for this second hour, I'm excited to say that we've got Logan Green. Logan is the founder of Groundworks Tucson, and Groundworks is a fabulous nonprofit here in the Tucson area that serves youth and young artists. And with that, without further ado, Logan, welcome.
Hi, yeah, thanks for having me.
Very excited to have you in studio. I know a little bit about your organization. I know a lot of people who know a lot more and celebrate your organization and have been over to your venue recently for some things that were going on around Halloween time. And I know that later in November, you have an upcoming art event that we can tell our folks about. But before we get to all of that, tell our listeners and viewers a little bit more about you and what inspired you to found such a wonderful organization.
Sure, yeah. So I am a musician and a teacher, and I've lived in Tucson all my life. I'm actually fifth generation here in Tucson. So it's, you know, being part of this community and working in the Tucson community is really important to me. One thing that I grew up with were all ages music venues that I could attend when I was 14 and 15, getting really excited about music as a budding musician myself. Places like Scrappy's, which was around downtown for 17 years. And those were places that I felt, you know, young people like myself at the time could go and just experience, you know, live music, touring acts from around the country, many of which when I saw them when they were starting became, you know, huge, massive bands and, you know, kind of more household names now. But at the time they were playing very small rooms here in Tucson. Mm-hmm. And as I got older and I got into teaching and touring with music, I noticed that there were less and less places like that, not just in Tucson, but around the country, that young people could go and experience the arts and experience music. So I got together with some fellow teachers and artists, and we put together the nonprofit that is Groundworks Tucson.
Wonderful. And really honing in on the all ages venues. I love that, because some places are only 21 and up and might have an occasional all age event now and then, but to really hone in on a venue that is very accessible to all, I think really stimulates, I'm going to guess, the younger folks to hone into their own talent and to really come out of the woodworks, if you will.
Yeah.
Because they have a place to do it.
Absolutely. And the other part of, that we do is really, we call it youth driven, because mm-hmm. even if another space is all ages or allows for young people, they might have a bar, but maybe they have all ages events or things like that. They're not really designed with youth as the forefront, okay. because youth typically aren't the money making element at most, most event spaces. So for us, it's really about putting youth in the driver's seat where they control what programming we do. They're the ones performing, they run the events, they help book the events, and it's a youth-centric place where it's not adults prescribing something, but rather youth deciding what they want to do.
Their own creativity, their own knowledge, their own fingers on the pulse, all coming together. And then, do they participate in the fundraising or whatever support might be needed to make those events happen?
Yeah, they absolutely do. So we have a number of volunteer teams, and each one is, you know, comprised of youth and some adults who work together towards those types of events, so even the fundraising. Mm-hmm. One of our big events every year is called Camp Groundworks, and that's at the end of the summer. And it's not a literal camp, but rather the spirit of summer camp where everybody's kind of getting together, working together towards raising $20,000 for the space. And we were able to do that this year. And the youth are the ones performing. They're running the event, and they're helping out with promotion and all many of the fundraising aspects as well. So they're involved in every step of the way.
That's great. I imagine the teacher in you gets very excited about putting together the curricula that is needed for these various learning opportunities. And what comes to my mind is the entrepreneurship about that as well. I'm going to liken it to the kind of lessons that Girl Scouts with the young ladies really learn a lot about the more business facets, you know, financial planning and budgeting, things like that, in selling their cookies. So similarly, if there are venues, events that need to be put on, the fundraising that needs to happen, that some of those lessons are coming out of Camp Groundwork to plant those seeds, and folks start to really think about maybe their talent as an artist and think about it from some business acumen as well.
Yeah, we do a lot of job training and job skills in the arts for youth, and so it is a combination of the youth's ideas and how to implement them, and then some of the administrators and facilitators providing those resources to make sure that the youth have all the support they need and the resources they need to kind of see their idea get off the ground in that way.
Wonderful. Has Groundworks always been located at the space that it's in now? Because you're sort of in central, what I call Midtown.
Yeah.
I think it's still called Midtown. Sometimes the names of the neighborhoods change a little bit in the areas because Tucson has grown so much.
Totally.
But you're right there on Grant near Country Club.
Yeah,
yes.
So we've only been open in that location. So our history definitely fell in the middle of pandemic shutdowns. We became a nonprofit in 2019. We got our nonprofit status, did a Kickstarter to fundraise a little bit to try to get a building.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of 2020, we got a lease, and then April 3rd, 2020 would have been our grand opening.
Oh, goodness.
That was shuttered in a different building we are now. It took to the end of 2021 before we got settled in our current location at Grant and Country Club. And essentially since 2022, we've been operational there.
Wonderful. Well, believe it or not, we are getting a little bit... Oh, I guess we're not too close to our commercial break. I was reading the clock a little wrong. We have time for me to ask you another question before we go off to our commercial break. And that is, I know you have an event coming up, I believe, on November 20th. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. We do events all the time, every week. Fridays, Saturday nights, we always have a concert.
Ooh.
We often have workshops. And again, these are, they're all ages, but they're youth driven in that 14 to 24 year old range. However, we do have a really cool free event that I think appeals to a broader audience as well, which is our kind of holiday art market. It's going to be on November 20th at 6 p.m. And this will be like a nighttime market where we have over 20 vendors who are going to be having art and other goods and, gifts and things like that. And we'll have music in our venue, and it'll be out in our parking lot. So we'll have something in our parking lot. We'll have stuff inside the space people can check out. And it'll be just kind of a nice community get together.
That sounds exciting and just in time, even pre-Thanksgiving. I know that sometimes people get into all the holiday things after Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. but Thanksgiving is a really, for a lot of families or a lot of communities where they come together and want to exchange gifts too. So that's just perfect timing to be able to do that. We are getting closer to that commercial break, so I'm going to hold on that question, except that I do want to start planting in our listeners and viewers' mind where you are. So we've made a reference to the intersection, Grant and Country Club. There is a plaza there where the Arizona Lottery and some other things. So you're tucked into that plaza, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and what's the street address?
It's 2919 East Grant Road.
Wonderful. Well, folks, start planning for some of your holiday shopping, and we're going to go on a quick commercial break here. Matt's going to take us out with some good music. I think we've got Ramsey Lewis Trio to take us out, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes to speak more with Logan Green of Groundworks Tucson. Coming back to you on Rainmakers this Monday, November 10th. We're listening to a little Average White Band, Pick Up the Pieces. And, Matt, I also like their other song, Cut the Cake.
Hey, man, I may have it on the list here. Yeah, we can go out with that. I'm all about that one.
It's all about good. And we've been speaking about food and food resourcing for ourselves, our families, and our pets. And also on Mondays, we try to give a little bit of attention to whatever National Day of whatever that might be going on. Last Monday, it was National Sandwich Day. We had a lot of fun
with that.
Did you know that today, November 10th, is also National Vanilla Cupcake Day? So a little cut the cake or pick up the pieces,
right.
You know, brings a little theme to that. Also National Civic Pride Day. And, of course, the National Marine Corps birthday. I think 247 years of the Marines.
Yes.
And today's the actual birthday of that. And tomorrow we've got Veterans Day. So lots going on for the next 48 hours.
You so inspired me last week by us observing World Sandwich Day that I got it was a club sandwich on a croissant at Fortunato's Deli over on Tancredi by Sabino Canyon. It was sublime. Mm-hmm. Sublime. It was
sublime.
So good.
Put
so
you at another level.
It inspired
level.
Me to get a sandwich. It was delicious.
Well, good. I'm glad about that. We've been speaking this current hour, second hour of our show with Logan Green. Logan is the founder of Groundworks Tucson, and we were speaking right before the break about the many different things. We actually put a whole lot into our first segment alone about the wonderful work that Groundworks does for youth-driven art. And the kinds of the mission is to promote the youth-driven music and arts community here in Tucson, Arizona. Logan, it's wonderful to have you here.
Yeah, thanks again. This has been real fun.
I am excited to learn a little bit more about what Groundworks does, but really it sounds like there are, in you founding this organization, and it really is quite young. You said you originally founded it in 2019, and just as it was getting some legs about it, of course, the whole world went into pandemic, and that slowed down the pace, but didn't stop it. And then you've really been going strong for the last 3 years or so. What I love that I'm learning about your organization, and it really is ages 14 to 24. I thought at first that it was teens up until about 19 or so, but going into that young adult age helps, I'm going to guess, the momentum that these young people learn about their own talents or about putting on events and all the different kind of skills that they build that can really put them into an industry and have them well suited to really make a career.
Yeah, we have teenagers as well as young adults working together a lot of the time because we have a lot of students, and we feel like the things that they're learning in school can complement what they're working on at our organization, especially where we can fill in the gaps around arts or even just arts industry, job skills, and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, we have some young students who are working in high school in their music classes, and then they can perform at our school, and we have good relationships with some high school music teachers and that kind of thing. But we also have some college students learning recording engineering, and now they can come into our space and actually with our recording equipment they can record their own projects and get some hands-on practice in the skills they're learning.
Fantastic. So do you have a full-blown recording studio that folks can come in and sing or play or speak into?
Yeah. I'll give you a little kind of walkthrough of the space, and you can kind of imagine it. You walk in, and we have our lobby box office. There's art and zines and other things on the walls everywhere you go. To the left, we have our music venue, which every wall in the whole space is covered in a mural. So everything is very bright, colorful, a lot of youth artists contributing their skills to these murals. Through a different room in the lobby, you can get to our classroom, green room. There's a piano, things that people can do in there. We have screen printing set up, button maker, and things that people can create. To the right of the lobby, we have our gallery space, and we have a monthly art show.
Nice.
And then down the hall, we have two recording studio rooms that we also teach lessons out of. So I'm there on the weekends also teaching guitar and ukulele lessons. But during the weekdays, we might have some folks come in and record their band, for example, in the recording studio.
That's wonderful. That's very active and sounds like so much going on. So not only do you have your Monday to Friday, so to speak, but then you're there on the weekends giving lessons.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, for me especially, it is a little more than a full-time thing in terms of being there to keep the operation going as director, but also to participate in our programming through teaching or through, you know, facilitating some of what youth have created for us.
Now, you spoke about a zine. I'm not familiar with that word.
Sure.
What's a zine?
Yeah,
Z-I-N-E, correct?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, this is something that...
It's like a magazine?
Yeah,
that
it's
short?
Kind of okay. Like a mini magazine. It's really about the DIY culture. So mm-hmm. I think through the 80s and 90s around DIY and even some punk culture, there's this idea of creating your own info zine, so that your own magazine that you can print yourself, you can fold up, and you can make it something you can distribute that has you know information that may not be able to find in your average place. So it could be about very specified things like your music. We have bands who make their own zines with their lyrics and things mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And it could be something about history or really any subject that somebody might want to create, because it's just you putting this information there and creating it yourself.
It's taking me back, and Matt will probably remember some of these things. Like what was always fun for me in albums back, you know, vinyl, was some of the foldouts, and so those were zines of a type, I suppose. And then even when CDs were the thing and all the rage, you would open up the case and often there were 3, 4, 5 fold zines.
Mm-hmm. With very small print.
Very teeny tiny print.
That's what we got by switching from albums to CDs.
We had to really, really hone in there. My eyesight was so good back then.
Yeah. And there are bands that use zines as their liner notes like
sure.
that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And I understand that comic books, so you have a zine library as well as a comic book library there too. And
yeah.
Talk about art. I mean, that's not only the storytelling, but the characters and maybe caricatures and the drawings and the scenes, and that's an art form all into itself.
Yeah.
Is that very popular?
So we got a lot of donations. We partner with Amazing Discoveries, which they do board games and Magic the Gathering, but they mm-hmm. also have a lot of comic books. And mm-hmm. so they've donated a bit to us that we can have in our, essentially our little library there. And they're just free to people to check out. And, you know, we don't have any late fees or anything. And so we just want to make sure that people who want these materials can check them out, learn about comics or zines or art or any type of thing. And that's just kind of going down to our philosophy of the whole space. We have asking prices for our events, suggested donations, things like that. But everything is what we call no one turned away for lack of funds. So anybody could come into the space and use the space without necessarily having the funds to be able to. And we feel like that makes it more accessible, especially for youth.
Sure.
If they need a place to go. And on top of that, we have dedicated times that are just free to use the space. Like, we wouldn't ask for a price for those. So our open hours on Fridays from 3:30 to 5:30 is a good example of that.
Wonderful. A nice way for young folks to be able to wrap up their week, maybe practice a few things that they've learned either in school mm-hmm. or with your programming. And also, I've seen on your website the Youth-Driven Creative Youth Alliance, the CYA. I think that's kind of mm-hmm. cute. Those are the the acronym there. So the Creative Youth Alliance is a local alliance of the students or the young people that participate in your programs, or does it bring in other people? Does it link up with other alliances?
Yes.
How does that work?
So this started as a grant. Through a grant from the Arizona Commission on the Arts that helped us create a specifically youth-driven team at Groundworks, where it wouldn't be any adults really doing much other than some basic facilitation. And that team did a lot of really cool events and projects that they created, and we just provided whatever resources they might need. Through that team, we've kind of expanded that to move into different other types of teams around the space. So we've kind of split that up. So now we have youth working on our gallery team or our booking team where they book the events. And so now that that you Creative Youth Alliance has kind of become the teams that we have around the space. But it is something that, yeah, it is really, it's a one way that people get involved is through that. And then it's something that also we have for young people to get involved in more than just one thing.
Well, we're going to hold right there as we go to this quick commercial break and pick it back up with the youth, the Creative Youth Alliance. Stay tuned for more. And everyone's a winner, not only the song by Hot Chocolate, but here on Rainmakers, KVOI The Voice, your trusted local news and talk station here in Tucson. We are speaking this morning on Rainmakers for our second hour with Logan Green, who's the founder of a fabulous organization here in Tucson, a nonprofit that's called Groundworks. Logan, thanks again for being here.
Of course.
And right before the break, we were speaking a little bit about the Youth Alliance, the Creative Youth Alliance, and how that has really helped spur more activity and interest with a lot of different young people. Again, if for our listeners, Groundworks Tucson focuses on youth-driven music and art and activities and all the learning and opportunity that comes with that, mostly focus on 14 years to 24 years old. So that is an interesting age range of people who are building skill, maybe discovering that they have some talent, didn't know it, some hidden talent there, and much learning around that, as well as mentoring, resources, opportunities that blends with things already happening in schools and college. How fabulous. I just think it's wonderful that you do this. But you, while this is a unique organization here in Tucson, it is part of similar to other organizations or affiliates, I'm going to say maybe not formal affiliates, but you cater to and have relationships with similar organizations all around the country.
Yeah, of course. So we can kind of, it's a small group that does exactly what we do around the country, but there's some that we model our programs after and our organization after. One of the ones I can think of is Vera Project in Seattle, which is a very similar thing, but they've been around for now 30 years and they've really established themselves as this type of all ages music venue, art space, education space that puts youth first, puts youth in the driver's seat, as we call it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is something that is not entirely foreign. Most big cities, Tucson size and above, have something like it. But you really only see one of these things in each city. It's a kind of a difficult organization to keep going for a number of reasons, partly just because arts organizations are kind of tough to keep going, especially when it's youth forward and really youth in the driver's seat here. Mm-hmm. But it's really rewarding, and the spaces around the country that do it really do it well, and we're hoping to be like them as we go.
Wonderful. Well, for our viewers or listeners, it's a real treat to have Logan here this morning because we are so early in the morning, but your organization is kind of afternoon into the nighttime, afternoon and evening focused, because the young folks are coming in usually after school.
Correct.
And given you're not just a Monday to Friday, as we were speaking about in the last segment, that really you have opportunities and programs and live performances on Friday and Saturday evenings. You just had an open mic night, I think, on was it yesterday?
Yeah. So we do some programs are like the open mic. We try to do them monthly, and we work with local organizers who want to create them at our space, and we become a host for them.
Nice.
We also create some of our own programming that happens regularly Friday, Saturday nights. We always have a concert, sometimes during the week as well. Lessons on the weekends, and then various workshops and art events, markets. Last month, we had a big comic book festival at the space. And that was just a bunch of local comic book makers who came in, and we had hundreds of people through the door to check out what we had going on that day.
That's exciting. So what happens at an open mic? Is it spoken word and music? Is it Is it ever like comedy or?
Well, yeah, we never know what it is until people show up.
Okay, and so it's kind of whatever's on their mind.
Exactly, because yeah, you show up, you sign up, and then you get to perform. And so nobody really knows what that's going to look like until it happens. Mm-hmm. Often for us, it's a lot of music. Different people coming in with a guitar as a singer-songwriter, or they come in with a backing track as a singer, or perhaps doing hip-hop. But it's sometimes poetry, spoken word, comedy, or some other performance art that they want to see. But it's not limited to a single performer. We've had bands come in and do an open mic for us. And so it can really be a wide group of things. But another one that we do that's just kind of that, and that one you see around town a bit, ours is pretty unique in that we have this event called the First Show, where about quarterly we ask performers from our community, especially youth, to come in and perform for the first time ever. Oh. So these are all often young performers, but really it's all ages, so anybody can perform. And if they have a set that they've put together, a 20-minute set, we ask them to come and perform for the first time. And everybody performing that night is all first-timers. And so it's a really good community experience because it's a little less nerve-wracking than being the only people playing for the first time.
That's great. A lot of camaraderie there, people encouraging each other.
Exactly.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So how can folks get involved if they want to be involved? Do you take volunteers? Do you hire part-time staff, or can people intern at your organization?
Yeah, all of the above, in fact. So if you are I often say that if you're a creative, young, you know, teenager who's a little alternative or needs a place to go that's different than everywhere else, you probably already know about us. So those kids are kind of already covered. But if not, they can volunteer with us. They can come to our events. We have a page on our website, groundworkstucson.com, and you can find out how to get involved there. But it's about 60 to 80% of all of our participants are in that youth range. But the other 20 to 40% are adults that we also need help with from as volunteers. And we have interns from college and high school who come and get involved in a certain thing that they're interested in or around their major or subject. And then we have, adults who come in as board members, and we're always seeking more people interested in joining in that way, or as volunteers to help teach or lead or be involved in that way. But it is a very active commitment, and we ask people to, you know, come with that in mind and putting the youth forward, and make sure that they are aware of, you know, what volunteering is. It's providing a service to the community. And yeah, we're always looking for help in that way.
That's wonderful. Again, it's groundworkstucson.com is the website, and people can find out a whole lot of information about how to get involved, how to help support, maybe how to send their young folks in their family or neighborhood or friends who might be looking for how to get involved or to benefit from the kind of learning that you offer. So fantastic. Again, so Ye Olde Camp Groundworks is your summer program that's usually in August, and that is your annual program that involves young people in coming up with concept programming and a plan, if you will, that would raise $20,000 is the goal every year. So that's kind of your big signature fundraising effort.
Yes. So it kind of functions as a mini music festival, but there's a live streaming telethon component to it. So we have youth on there in a very like public access style green screen trying to raise money. We're live streaming it online. And then we have music happening all weekend and a new art gallery exhibit, and then additional fundraising that we can do, an auction online, and so many other components. It becomes a really big event for us, but it is effective in helping us raise funds and getting youth involved in that process.
Wonderful. And then throughout the year, like you said, performances, on Friday nights, on Saturday nights, monthly open mic on Sundays. So is that perhaps the second Sunday?
Yeah, second Sunday. Okay. We'll have another one in December, and then we are still creating some of our 2026 programming. So check out our events on our website for future events.
Great.
Like that.
And take a look for the first shows mm-hmm. that you have a few times throughout the year.
Exactly. Our next one will be in January.
That's so exciting. I think that's a wonderful, I really like how you describe that it is not only meant for those who are wanting to come out and get their feet wet for the first time, but that the entire show of those dates have first-time performers, so everybody can kind of feel like they're part of the group and cheering each other on and really getting over that hump, because there's nothing like the first time, they say.
Exactly.
You know, a little bit of nerves, but it's that good adrenaline that gets everybody through it, and they come out on the other side and hopefully say, wow, that was kind of cool. I want to do it some more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, teachers like yourself who want to get involved also can, like you said, as volunteers, maybe as advisors or board members, lots of different ways. But I would imagine that you might be open to connecting with teachers in other schools, because after all, that's what drives the attendance and the participation of the young people themselves. How might schools or school programs get involved? Same way, just reaching out?
Yeah, they're reaching out to us is great. We would love to do some outreach at the schools as well, or have teachers specifically, you know, reach out to their students about what we're doing and make sure that, you know, spreading the word about it would be amazing with their youth, to know to that it's a place that they can go to attend, they can go to get involved and volunteer, learn skills, but also just to build those connections in broader communities so that we represent Tucson's very diverse community.
And it is very diverse. And lots of the surrounding towns and communities, of course, I'm sure are welcome. And I would I be remiss to say that anyone in Southern Arizona, young people from all around Southern Arizona, so long as they have the ability or desire to come up to Tucson, can sign up and participate in your programs as well?
Yeah, absolutely. We have performers from all around Arizona, and we also even book national acts. So we have people coming in from all over.
How wonderful.
You know, and that's just a way that we can not only have our Tucson community kind of have a home base for them, but so that they can interact with people beyond their community. And that's a big part of what we do as well.
Absolutely. Spreading the word so that people know. Well, we are going to take one more commercial break here, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes to wrap it up with Logan Green and Groundworks Tucson. Stay tuned. This is Rainmakers on Monday, November 10th. And we're back on Rainmakers. I'm your host, Lydia Arando. We're listening to a little Let It Whip by the Dazz Band, and we're wrapping up a wonderful Monday morning, November 10th. We've had three fabulous guests on this morning. We started out on the phone with Krista Williams from Borderlands Binational Pets on Parade, and she was giving us some tips and tricks of how to keep our pets fed and keep them happy, and some recipes that you can actually use at home with your own grocery list to help stretch that pet food out to make it last a little bit longer. We had Jenny Flynn, the CEO of Community Foundation of Southern Arizona, and she was giving us many, many updates of the fabulous work that the foundation does for and with nonprofits all around Southern Arizona and how that helps our community thrive. And this last hour, we've been speaking with Logan Green, who's here in studio as well. He is the founder of Groundworks Tucson. Groundworks is a great organization that is promoting the youth-driven music and arts community here in Tucson, Arizona, and beyond, because they welcome folks from 14 years old to 24 years old, as well as all the stakeholders, friends, family, donors, and sponsors who help make this kind of programming happen and make it accessible. Open mic nights, live performance nights, art gallery, recording studios, and lots of other training and programs that help inspire the talent from within. Logan, it's been so wonderful to have you in studio.
Yeah, I appreciate having me here.
And people can find you quite easily. They can come into your venue, which is open 7 days a week. Yes?
We're open on events, which are sometimes are 7 days in a week. But do check out our website, groundworkstucson.com, for our events page, because it really depends on the night of the week.
Okay. Got it. And programs are available. There are resources, books and zines and comic books, libraries where zines and comic books can be checked out and viewed by folks. Open mic nights. They can come see the gallery of different artists that are featured every month and more.
Yeah. And our website has all of that info. And we have plenty of stuff in person and online that people can check out. So we do encourage folks coming to our website or getting involved through our volunteer form on that site or supporting through donations. There is a big donate link on the top of our website as needed.
Wonderful. And even if you scroll from your mobile device, I know that I've been checking it out on mine. And as you scroll through, there are two or three different ways that the donation opportunity presents itself so that you can support. And no amount is too small. It all goes to really good use. And with that, also volunteers. Always a need for more volunteers. And there's information about how folks can give of their time, talent, or treasure. And with beyond that, the outreach and connection with schools into your organization for learning, the relationship with teachers to help tell their own students, maybe relationships with college students as well. So whether it's Pima Community College or the University of Arizona or the other campus universities that we have here in town, there are many others, even if they're online, those faculty, staff, or students can get involved too.
Yeah, we'd love to make connections to the broader youth community outside of our immediate community. Mm-hmm. And that could be, through a visiting or doing a Zoom call or really just any type of outreach or just letting them know about what we offer.
That's so wonderful. Matt, I think we've had quite a full amount of discussion, lots of varied topics this morning.
Indeed.
From pets to food to art and talent
and
to support. And
now
cupcakes.
I want a cupcake.
National Vanilla Cupcake
Vanilla
Day.
Cupcake.
So not just any cupcake, but vanilla cupcake.
You had me a cupcake.
A little bit different there. But you could put whatever frosting and sprinkles.
Indeed.
We hope that you continue to listen to us and participate with your questions, calling in live or making comments and viewing live for Rainmakers as part of the Morning Voice here on 1030 The Voice, our trusted local news and talk at KVOI, Bustos Media Studios. And Matt Neely, I know we've got Kathleen Wynn coming up next.
Indeed.
And we have Veterans Day tomorrow. So
Ted Maxwell's got a Veterans Day special program lined up.
So, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it'll be very much focused on the day.
And I want to thank all the veterans that I know in my family, friends, and colleagues, but for all of the ones who have served, of course, tribute to everyone. And we hope that you will make it a wonderful Monday. Come back and find us every Monday morning, 7 to 9, Rainmakers. And thanking Logan Green for being here in studio.
Thank you.